بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 28th of July in the year 2015 and الحمدللہ we've completed the third week the 21st night that we're going through the important subject with regards to the major signs of the hour. So, moving on chronologically, entitled The Return of Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first thing which many people ask or pose, is his second coming mentioned in the glorious Quran? So what's interesting, we believe that he will return. This is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, apart from the Qadianis. And of course the Christians also believe he's returning. But is his second coming mentioned in the Quran? And the simple answer is yes. It's mentioned in a few places of the glorious Quran. For instance, in Ahmad in his Musnad 4-329, Qurtubi, Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs, Shaykh Ahmad Shakir rahmatullah alayhi in his checking of the Musnad states Sahih. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he recited this verse, radiyallahu anhu. Surah Az-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse 61. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa innahu la'ilmun lis-sa'ah, and he shall be a known sign of the hour. And he shall be a known sign of the hour. Ibn Abbas explained, radiyallahu anhu. This refers to the appearance of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam before the day of resurrection. So let's look at this. So in the glorious Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he simply says, "Wa innahu la'ilmun lis-sa'ah." He shall be a known sign of the hour. Question, who is he? Who is our Lord referring to, subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in a flawless report in the Musnad, Tarjaman al-Quran radiyallahu anhu, he said, it's referring to Isa and his second coming, alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore the Quran says he is a sign of the hour. Indeed, our beloved messenger gave the same meaning himself, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, as recorded in Ibn Hibban, number 6817, with a Hassan chain. So the tafsir of that verse is more authentic from Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, but also with the acceptable chain, is from the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Hafiz ibn Jadir, he commented, rahmatullah alayhi, in his tafsir, 21-631. What is meant is that the appearance of Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a sign by which they will come to know that the hour is near. For his appearance is one of its signs. And his descent to the earth is a sign of the end of this world and the beginning of the hereafter. So the great Ibn Jadir said, this is the interpretation. He is also mentioned in another verse of the glorious Quran. In Bukhari and Muslim in the glorious Sahih, Abu Huraira radiallahu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and I'm summarizing the report, he mentioned his descent, achievement and blessings. And then Abu Huraira added after the Prophet's statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you may wish, recite the following verse. In Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 159, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَا يُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. And there is none of the people of the book but must believe in him before his death, and on the day of judgment he will be a witness against them. So let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi mentioned his second coming. He's destroying the cross, the pigs, etc., etc. Famous hadith. But right at the end of that hadith, Abu Huraira, look how interesting. He goes, if you wish, you may recite the verse which confirms this. So this is Abu Huraira's commentary of this verse. There is none of the people of the book, but must believe in him. Him being Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, before his death. Meaning he's not passed away. And on the day of judgment, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, will be a witness against them. So there's another part of the glorious Quran where he's mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said similarly with regards to the same verse as recorded in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, where the sahih chain of transmission, as did Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh, as recorded in Ibn Abi Hatim and al-Bidayah. So Abu Huraira's comment is the most authentic, as in Bukhari and Muslim. But other great authorities stated exactly the same. But don't, it's not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's from the companions. He's mentioned in another verse as well. Similarly, in Ibn Jarir and Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd, he recited this verse of the Quran. In Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3 verse 46, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَيُقَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَقَحْلًا. He shall speak to mankind whilst in a cradle and whilst middle-aged. He then clarified, the Holy Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, already spoke to people from the cradle, meaning from infancy. And again, when he will kill the Dajjal, he will speak to people once more, and at that time, he will be middle-aged. So look at the verse, very easily missed. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He shall speak to mankind in the cradle, and waqahla. Fil mahdi waqahla, middle-aged, and in the cradle. So the question, but everybody speaks in middle age. Why does Allah mention that? And the response is, his middle age isn't a normal middle age. So yes, he's middle age when he returns, but how old is he? Imagine, over 2,000 years, taking the soul years, you know, as they say. So this is another verse from the Salaf, mentioning his second coming, alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, when Maryam, radiyallahu anha, brought back the newborn Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, and she pointed to him to declare her innocence, the people said, in Surah Maryam, Surah 19, verse 29, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. كَيْفَ نُقَلِّمُ مَنْ قَانَ فِي الْمَحْدِ صَبِيًّا. How can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle? It is also interesting to note that the Almighty and Glorious calls the earth, describes the earth with the same description. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse 10, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مَحْدًا. He has made for you the earth as a cradle. So look how interesting. Allah the Almighty calls or describes the earth as a cradle, i.e. mahda. He uses the same term when he's talking about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, because he will speak in the cradle. And also in another part of the Quran, the people said to Maryam, how can we speak to a child in the cradle? Man kana fil mahdi sabiya. So look how interesting. So when you say cradle, this is a perfect translation. If you look at other verses of the Quran. Now why is the earth called a cradle? A perfect description, for the earth is traveling at a great speed whilst all the while floating in space. And the residents are thus living peacefully upon them. SubhanAllah. Imagine it. They even say you're traveling, the earth travels more quickly than a bullet that's fired. And look how comfortable it is. So somebody says to you, well, what? I don't understand. The Quran describes it as a cradle. And this is again showing that it's designed for the comfort of the person on it. When a child's in the cradle, it's designed for the child, so the child could sleep peacefully. So again, this is again the perfect words that our Lord uses. Returning to the matter at hand, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Al-Hanafi rahmatullah alayh, he said in his work, Ma'riful Quran, Volume 3, page 286-7 of the English translation. As for talking waqahla whilst middle-aged, it does not seem to be worth mentioning, for everyone talks at this age. However, for a moment, just think of the condition surrounding Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you will realize that this too is a miracle. For Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, was raised from the earth before reaching middle age. Now the only way that he could talk to people in middle age is when he returns to the world, as is the collective belief of the Muslims, which stands proven on the basis of clear statements of the Quran and Sunnah. Hence from here we find out that just as it was a miracle for Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to speak as an infant, so in the same manner, talking whilst middle-aged will also be nothing short of a miracle as well. So these are fine points which are very easily missed when you're going through the Qur'an. But it mentions clearly in the Qur'an that he's coming back. In conclusion, the blessed narrations on the Holy Prophet Isa's second coming alayhi salatu wasalam have reached the level of mutawatir, the denial of which is tantamount to disbelieving in the Qur'an itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us. Ameen. So even if there was no verse, just to deny it from the hadith of the Prophet is very, very dangerous. But it's mentioned in the Qur'an. So now another question people pose here. It's a good question. Why Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and no other Prophet has been chosen to descend to the earth towards the end of time? So this is a good question. You know, obviously we accept that. So the mind goes, what about our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or what about another Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam? Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he clarified rahmatullah alayhi in Fathul Bari 6-568, this is to refute the Jewish claims that they killed Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show that to be a clear lie. And also he is the one who will fight them and kill their god or leader, the Dajjal. So it wouldn't make sense for another Prophet to come. The whole controversy is about Christ. Similarly, to also refute the Christians' belief that he is the Son of God. For on his return and after his magnificent achievements, he will eventually taste death, which is decreed for all the sons and daughters of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the obvious reason. Other views are mentioned, but what is related above was the one favored by Ibn Hajar Asqalani, i.e. to refute the Jews. So this is why he's coming back alayhi salatu wasalam. Other things the scholars mention, they say that the prophets made dua to be in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam due to the status of this ummah. His dua was answered. So he comes back so that he can be in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But there's no contradiction. All of this helps to explain why Jesus Christ returns alayhi salatu wasalam. But when you say returns, it doesn't mean resurrected. It means he went up as he was alive, he did not taste death, and he returns as he is alive. This is why Sheikh Suhaib Webb al-Maliki, he said to the audience in one of his talks, he said, who is the greatest companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam? And then there was a faint voice that was heard, and one of them said, Abu Bakr radiyallahu. And Shaykh Suhaib said, no, he's not the greatest companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then of course you heard a few grumbles, and he said, the greatest companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Jesus Christ alayhi salatu wasallam. Why? Because when the Prophet was leading the prayer, when he went to the heavens, certainly he met Jesus Christ. And for the person to be a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he must have iman and die with iman and must have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is a status of the great Holy Prophet Isa. And that's why the ulama actually say the status of the tabi'een is still open. Because when he returns, there will be tabi'een again. Because there's somebody who's seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is another way to look at the status of those blessed souls. So now let's move to the next subsection. His blessed description and holy features. We need to know how he's described, because many people have called themselves Christ. So the reports in Bukhari and Muslim, in their glorious Sahih, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night of the Isra, I met Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was a slim man with wavy hair, and he looked like a man from the Shanua tribe. I also met Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was of medium height and of red complexion, as if he had just come out of a bath. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So Musa was described alayhi salatu wasalam like a man from the Shanua tribe. They were known for their dark complexion. They weren't dog in the sense of black. It was like dog brown. But in another report, the Prophet actually said, I've never seen a more handsome man with that complexion than Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. And he mentioned that he's a slim man, yet wavy hair. But when he mentioned about Christ alayhi salatu wasalam, he said he's of medium height, average height. But he's got a red complexion. And it looks like, though he had not, it looks like he's come out of a bath. And I'll explain this in a bit, inshallah. In another report, it mentions, in Sahih Bukhari, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst I was asleep, I saw myself making tawaf around the holy Kaaba. I thereupon suddenly saw a brown skinned man with straight hair being supported by two men and with water dripping from his blessed head. I asked, who is this? They replied, the son of Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet, this is a vision. He had a dream. And of course the Prophet's dreams are revelation. And he saw that he was doing tawaf. And then he saw, look at the description, it contradicts the previous one. I saw a brown skinned man. The previous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim said, red complexioned. He had straight hair, supported by two men with water dripping from his head. This was Christ. So now a person goes, well, what is it? Is it red, reddish complexion, or is it brown? There's another report which explains. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is of medium height, and his complexion is reddish white. Meaning his normal complexion is reddish white. However, he's also got a golden, you know, aura around him as well. That's the way to put it. So he's like, you could describe him as light brown. So the Prophet was mentioning also that he's also got that shade as well, alayhi salatu wasalam. In another report it mentions, in Abu Dawud, Ahmad ibn Hibban ibn Abi Shayba ibn Jarir al-Udus, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 5265. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no prophet between me and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He will certainly descend. When you see him, recognize him. He will be of average build, and his color will be red and white. He will have upon him two garments dyed with saffron, i.e. light yellow in color. Although the hair of his blessed head will not be wet, yet due to its purity, it will look as if water was dropping from his head. So this explains. When he said, it looks like he's come out of a bath. He hasn't. It's just that his hair is illuminated. You know, you see the reflection, the light coming off somebody's hair, and it looks like, oh, he's come out of the bath, his hair's wet. That's the purity of his hair. You know, subhanAllah, right? So this shows how pure the prophets are, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it mentions that he will be wearing two garments dyed with saffron. When you think of two garments, you think of ihram. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In another report it mentions, in Sahih Bukhari, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam would be handsome, wheat colored, and his hair will not be very curly, I predominantly straight. It will extend to his shoulders. He will be of average height and build. So a few other things are mentioned in this Sahih hadith. He's handsome. That's obvious. All the prophets are handsome. Why? Because if you look at the human, obviously you don't compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when you get representatives of countries, ambassadors, they always choose the best person. The one who's, you know, who's got a presence, who's eloquent, you know, all the best qualities, because he's representing you. So do you think that God Almighty is going to choose ugly people? Right? So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet goes, he's very handsome. And now again, not wheat colored, again showing that, you know, slight change in his complexion. And his hair is not straight, predominantly, because it's got a slight curl. And it reaches his shoulders, and he's got average height and build. In another report, it mentions in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said, his hair will be curly. Meaning, it's not straight, it's got a slight curve on his blessed hair. In another report, Imam Nawawi clarified, Rahmatullah Alayh, in Shar Sahih Muslim, volume 1, page 94, his hair would be somewhat curly, not very straight. So it's in between. Another description of the Holy Prophet. In Ahmad in his Musnad 1-488 Sahih, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, who was reddish and broad chested. I saw Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, who was reddish in complexion and he was broad chested. So meaning he's got an athletic build alayhi salatu wa sallam. Similarly, in another report, in Hakim in his Mustadrak, Bayhaqi Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah, page 9, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 322, Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah states, Sahih, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 471-2 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Hisham ibn As Umawi, radiyallahu, he said, Heraclius then opened another compartment and removed a black piece of silk that contained a white picture. The person depicted was youthful and sported a pitch black beard, had a lot of hair, striking eyes, and a handsome face. Heraclius asked, do you know who this is? He said, no. He replied, this is Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam. So now obviously context, Heraclius. It's Abu Bakr's Khalifat, radiyallahu. It's a long report, I'll give you the relevant part. Some ambassadors went to Heraclius, they were treated well by the Roman Emperor, and then he brought them into a private chamber, and they start getting all these, you know, best way to describe it, treasures out in compartments covered with different coloured silk. So he takes an image out, and they look, described in detail, he goes, who's that? Because we don't know, because that's Adam. So the Sahaba obviously looking at each other thinking, well, how does he know? Who's he trying to fool? Shows another image. During the course of it, this image comes. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So up to that point, they're still not convinced, thinking, well, you know, he's saying it is. But then when he takes another compartment out, who do they see? The Holy Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then Heraclius goes, do you know who this is? But straight away, they started to weep because that's the messenger of Allah. Then Heraclius staggers. Look how interesting. And then the report, long report, at the end of the report, it goes, I would have left him last. But in other words, you would have worked it out. So I basically brought him forward. And then he went on to say, he goes, if it wasn't for my kingdom, I would go this, that, and the other. But here, how do you describe Christ? Meaning it was certainly a true image. And the report says that it was a young person, pitch black beard, lot of hair, striking eyes, handsome face. And in case you're wondering, how did he get those treasures? It's a long report. But he went on to explain that Daniyal alayhi salatu wasalam gave these treasures to Zulkarnain. Zulkarnain traveled the earth, the Quran goes from east to west. And Daniyal alayhi salatu wasalam was the one who told him where to find this treasure. It was given to Adam first. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam asked, oh my Lord, show me the prophets amongst my children. And Allah the Almighty gave him this gift. And this was passed on, and eventually he got to Dhulqarnain alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he got to Heraclius. How? Because the Christians, obviously, they invented their religion. But their hierarchy had the treasures. You understand? Right? Even to this day, the Vatican, they've got the treasures. Who knows? They may still have this. Imagine it. Right, so this shows that, you know, they know, the Quran says they know the Prophet like their own sons. So, you know, we shouldn't find this strange. But whatever the case, I mentioned this report here indicating that he also mentions he had a pitch black beard. In another report, I will summarize. In Sahih Muslim, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Hakim in his Mustadrak and others, Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, who will resemble Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, who will resemble Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu, meaning there was a companion who looked like Christ, Urwa. So who's Urwa? So the person goes, I know who Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is. Is that his brother? No. Urwa ibn Mas'ud was from the Thaqif, the one with the powerful tribe, from Taif, that part of the world. And he was the, you know, how strange this is, isn't it? You know, Allahu Akbar. Remember the famous incident when the Quraysh stopped the Prophet from coming to do the Umrah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they started sending men to get the reports back. One of the men that they sent was Urwa ibn Mas'ud. So look how strange. He's the one who went and started trying to provoke. He's looking, observing. And as he's sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he grabs the Prophet's beard. Meaning he had a, you know, at least this much. And if people say, where is this hadith? You know, subhanAllah. Right? So he grabbed his beard. And then Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who was standing next to the Prophet with his sword in his sheath, he got the hilt of his sword and he hit Urwa's hand. Just put your hand back. And this was not even sanctioned by the Prophet. He just did it out of love. So then Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu, he knew who he was. He's from his tribe. Who's this? He goes, oh, this is Mughira ibn Shu'bah. And he's, oh, you treacherous one. And there's a history behind that. You can ask me after. Then what happened? Urwa started talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he said to him, this is all in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He goes, oh, these companions of yours, when the first, you know, real test arrives, they'll all abandon you. Abu Bakr, he swore at Urwa. He swore. And Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, it's sunnah to swear to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he goes, who's that? And he knew who it was. He just, you know, he goes, this is Abu Bakr. And he goes, if I didn't owe you some money, I would have given you a befitting reply. And the ulama said, look how generous Abu Bakr was. He's even lending money to non-Muslims. Imagine it. Then look what happened. So outwardly, Urwa wasn't impressed. He was given the impression, oh, these are nobodies and you're in deep trouble, O Muhammad Sira. But when he went back, he now started mentioning what's in his heart. He goes to the Quraysh. He goes, listen very carefully. He goes, I've been in the palaces of the Caesars and the Khosrows, and I've seen veneration. But I have never ever seen veneration like the companions do to their Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes, when he spat, they wouldn't even let his spit touch the ground, because they would fight over the leftover of his wudu. Then he goes, I advise you, O Quraysh, to let him do what he wishes. And they went, he's affected you as well. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud, look how interesting, you get this image. He's the one the Prophet was talking about, because he looks like Christ. So look how amazing the scene now is. You've got to, I mean, we can't tell, but it's like two prophets are sitting with each other when they were discussing. And then this great man, he embraced Islam eventually, radiyallahu. And then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, can I go back and preach to my tribe? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fear for you, O Urwa. In other words, he goes, they're known to be rough. He goes, I'm their chief, they can't do anything to me. And after much persuasion, he went back. He called the people, he's on a balcony. And he goes, am I not your chief? He goes, yes. He goes, we'll accept whatever you say. And he goes, embrace Islam. And then they start firing arrows. And he was shot. And from that led to his martyrdom. And then later the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Urwa is similar to the one mentioned in Surah Yasin, the martyr, Habib, radiyallahu, who defended the prophets, mentioned in the beginning of Surah Yasin. So this was that great man, radiyallahu. So that he looked like Christ. Now think about that. If he looked like Christ, then Allah was going to honor him, obviously. How amazing it must have been for the blessed companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, to cast their eyes on both Urwa ibn Mas'ud, who resembled Christ, and Qatan ibn Abdul Uzza radiyallahu, who resembled Dajjal. So imagine, you know, we're hearing it. Obviously, we never seen them. You know, we think, mashallah. But they're actually looking, thinking. And Qatan actually said, Ya Rasulullah, does my resemblance, does that mean I'm in? He goes, no, he goes, you're a believer. He's not. But look how amazing. When them two got together, they go, oh, Christ and Dajjal. SubhanAllah. Even more amazing would have been the most informative and interesting conversations between these two noble men. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with both of them. Amen. So let's do a summary of the description of Christ. So you tell me whether Qadian's Christ. So there's 10 points. Number one, he would be of a medium height and build. Neither too tall, neither too short. Medium height. Number two, his hair would neither be curly or straight, somewhat in between. Number three, his hair will look as though it is wet, simply due to purity. Number four, his hair will reach up to the edge of his shoulders. Number five, he will have a pitch black beard with striking eyes. Number six, he would have a golden complexion which would give a red luster upon exertion. Number seven, he would have a broad chest indicating his athletic build. Number eight, he would initially have upon him two garments dyed with saffron. Number nine, he will resemble Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. And number ten, he would be extremely handsome. So these are the few things that the Prophet mentioned about his description, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person gets worried, he goes, no, but what if these people, when they've got all these responses, what did the Prophet say? Look at the comforting words he uttered. One should not worry too much about his description, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see him, you will certainly recognize him. Think about that. Look how comforting that is. So think about it. You know, these, I don't know what they're believing in. Those, you know, not even Muslims, right? The Qadiani. First he was Mahdi, then he became Christ, then he became Maryam. You know, what's going on? Then he was Krishna, then he became Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he became, you know, unbelievable people. But just look at him. Forget about the text. Does that look like somebody that God would send? Fa, Chube, you know, black. You know, everything about him is like, well, how does that represent God? But look at the resemblance of Christ that we know, alayhi salatu wasalam. And where does it say you will recognize it? In Abu Dawud, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Al-Jan, number 5265 or 5-90. So the Prophet said, when you see him, you will certainly recognize him. Just like the magnificent Abdullah ibn Salam, radiyallahu anhu, when he saw the Prophet for the first time, what did Abdullah ibn Salam say? In Ahmad Sahih Tirmidhi, this is not the face of a liar. Abdullah ibn Salam goes, the first time my eyes cast upon the holy features of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing that came to his heart and lips was, this is not the face of a liar. And that is exactly the case with the Prophets. When you see them, that's enough. This is truly the Messenger of Allah. The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all our beloved Prophets and Messengers. Amen. So all I discussed today was basically two things. Where is the second coming of Christ mentioned in the Quran? There's a few verses, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's important to highlight that. And then I mentioned, of course, some of the physical features of the Holy Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we shouldn't get too, you know, worried about the description. The Prophet goes, you will certainly recognize him, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم